Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Chris Gibson, so what is your agenda? You know, in your last term in the Congress, I like to think of things in terms of semesters, but let's talk about it in your last term.
Well, let me first of all say I'm optimistic and I'm excited to get started. I know a lot of times cable news will point you to, you know, the divide and decline, but look at some of the indicators out there. You know, you've got gross domestic product now at 5%. Those are big numbers. And I will certainly yield the point that we need to see us put those up in successive quarters here in 2015. But nevertheless, they're encouraging. And, you know, look at the numbers in the last year. We've had a quarter over four, one almost four. So, you know, there's something to build on here. The jobs reports are encouraging. And what I want to see us do is work together to facilitate those trends. More than anything, you know, having a flourishing economy is best for us, not only in terms of obviously the economic impacts, but also from a social standpoint.
Now, your party, the Republican Party, has often been known as the party of no. Anything to embarrass Obama, anything to put him on the defensive. But you sound like you're thinking that maybe this is the time for some real rapprochement.
Well, I definitely think so. And look, we did do a farm bill together. We did a transportation bill together. And you know, we did a jobs bill last time that didn't
budget.
We did a budget. All these things, I think, and we helped with energy. And that's a large measure where you see this growth is the fact that you're seeing industry now look at the possibility, and in some cases actually do, move back to the United States because of lower energy costs. Here's where I think we can come together. We've got a tax code, complex, anti-growth, unfair to small business owners, not helpful, I think, to hardworking families. And I think that there's, conceptually at least, there is agreement that we can do better than that. I'm looking for the kind of tax reform that closes loopholes, lowers rates. Look, I mean, two-thirds of our economy is consumer spending driven, and you could argue it shouldn't be, and I agree with you. But I also believe in standing in the reality you're in and trying to improve it. And that means accepting where we are is we're always trying to get better. And that means this, that, you know, hardworking middle-class families historically have spent 96% of their take-home pay. And when they get a raise or a tax cut, they spend 96% of that. So when you talk about growth that lowers the rates of hardworking Americans, that's a private sector stimulus for the economy that will help continue the trends that we've seen in the last three quarters. So tax reform, the business tax reform I'd like to see, would recognize the fact that $1.5 trillion, regardless of where you are in the ideological spectrum, economists believe that there's about $3 trillion sitting on the sidelines on balance sheets not invested in the economy. Half of that is overseas. So, you know, I supported actually a Democrat from Maryland had a bill that would bring that money back to the United States at a discounted rate. Instead of the 35, it would come back at 8%, providing that significant ratio was invested into infrastructure broadly defined. Yes, roads and bridges, water and sewer, but also renewable energy and broadband. And I was very encouraged to hear the President of the United States say in his remarks about 2 or 3 weeks ago that he's open to this concept. Now, some have called it an infrastructure bank. You can really couch it however you want. But the idea that we would get this money that's not in our economy right now back into the United States of America and get it into the economy and specifically in infrastructure, I think strengthens our economy and it helps good people get back to not only get back to work, but also, you know, with a 5.6% unemployment. I want to be clear. We're not just talking about jobs. We're talking about raising the standard of living, which has really been what's missing in the last 15 or 20 years is seeing rising wages. And when I think of rising wages, to me, I think about my dad, somebody who was in the building trades. You know, when you have this kind of industry, the ability to make things with your hands, you know, who occupies those jobs? Well, people who generally make $50,000 to $75,000, $80,000 a year with some benefits and a pension. We're talking about the middle class. And there are examples where we have moved industry back to the United States already, and I think we're actually positionally advantaged to see more of that. And whether that be Ioxis and Oneonta that makes ultracapacitors, now the garment industry, you're hearing more of the garment industry and niches move back to New York City. And why? Because, you know, when I'm 50 this year, and when I was a young lad, people said Japan was going to economically bury us. That never happened. Now people say China economically bury us. I don't believe that. China has significant labor issues. They have serious environmental issues to the extent where they have to shut factories down 2 or 3 hours a day because of the smog and everything related, and they have 1 million-person cities with no one in them because of the command-directed economy. And we know how important the commercial and residential real estate and construction industry is to our economy. So when you have 1 million-person cities with no one in them, you can see what a drag that's going to be on the economy. Here's the thing. Given where we are today, I think that our best days are still in front of us, providing we get this tax reform, we get immigration reform done, make smart trade agreements. And I would tell you that the Trans-Pacific Partnership, from everything I've been able to read about it, is not in that vein. And I oppose it. And I oppose the fast-tracking authority because I think that the people's representative should be involved. But I do think that there could be some agreements that we could reach as long as we're fully in, we're endeavoring towards the goal of seeing growth in our entire economy, not just shareholders, but we're seeing industry come back to the United States. Because I believe this, when we're on a level playing field, I like our chances. I think we have the most motivated, dedicated, trained workforce in the world. We've got some investments that we've made in terms of technologies, and we've got energy at a cheaper cost. These are the formula that I think will lead to significant 5% perhaps, but at least over 4% continued sustain for quarters. And to do that, we need to work together. There's education policy we need to do together. Look, there's any number of things that we can do together.
Let's talk a little bit about terrorism, Chris Gibson. The President of the United States did not go to Paris with all the other world leaders to protest what was going on. I, myself, am less concerned about it than the Daily News and the New York Post seem to be. I'm wondering where you are.
Well, I thought we should have had representation there. Look, there's a lot of demands on the President of the United States, so whether or not he needs to go is certainly a decision I respect. He had a lot to do, but we should have had representation there to really stand with the people of Paris and across the world. Sometimes in moments like these, these moments of solidarity, it's more than just symbolism. It's a real commitment. And I think it also shows that even though we have significant differences in our own country and in some cases around the world, that we believe in civilization. I mean, we still think that this idea of representative democracy and the idea of having peaceful evolutionary change is one that's a significant improvement in the history of mankind. And the violent fascist viewpoint of terrorists who are looking to take down civilization and to put in harsh Sharia law is one that, while we have differences in other directions, we all agree that that's not in the best interest, which would really, if it was ever allowed to to be successful, would usher in a whole new dark age. So I do think it's important that we stand together on this, but I understand, having been an executive myself, battalion and brigade commander, there's a lot of demands on executives. So I don't think it's fair to necessarily point out whether or not the president should have been there, but he should have had leadership that was representing the United States.
Chris Gibson, always wonderful to talk to you. And I'm always so impressed with all you have to do. You come in and you talk to us here at WAMC, and I'm just delighted to call you a friend. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, same here, Alan. I appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to 2 years of hard work on behalf of the people of upstate New York. And best wishes to all the listeners out there.